Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Happy Opening. The set's still wet.
Yes, that's what we're calling this. Happy Opening. The set's still wet. It's something that
happens in community
theater all the time.
All the time. Well, every time.
Today's guest, believe it or not, is the inspiration for this podcast because she and I grew up together doing community and children's theater, things that you would not believe.
Oh.
How old were you when I put you in City of Angels?
I was probably 16.
Oh, playing, my goodness.
Playing Donna Ooley in City of Angels.
First of all, where was this City of Angels? At the community theater?
I should tell people who this is.
Yeah,
this is.
Guys, what are you talking? Dropped City of Angels that way? And who are we talking to?
This is the brilliant, wonderful, genius performer, Rebecca Spiegelman.
Hi.
If you have never seen Rebecca perform, you are missing out.
Oh, stop.
You are missing out. Every time she does a show at 54 Below, the number of people who come up afterwards and go, "Who's that girl?"
Insane.
It's incredible.
Type her in on the YouTube. Go on the YouTube.
You can tell the age of me by you saying, "Who's that girl?" How long of the people asking who that was.
This is 54 Below, so
I want to put her.
It's 54 Below. It's not the green room, 242.
I want to put her in a show.
Oh, is that lady?
Tell her to call me.
I got a show.
My number is Buffalo 475. I want to send her a telegram. So Becky and I, though.
City of Angels. Was City of Angels where? Like, at the community theater?
It was a teen community theater, to make it even better. So everybody was between the ages of 13 and 19.
And the director was like, we're going to do...
The director was Ross.
I'm right here.
Pick that show?
Yes!
Oh my god, you guys, this is insane.
Full of femme fatales and like scenes that draped and ended with people like falling into bed. We're all like 16, like going out to TGI Fridays after.
Oh, of course you were. And how old were you, Rob, when you were directing?
I was 22. Two?
Oh, a veteran.
Right,
okay.
23? I was a veteran director
at that point. You had already cut your teeth. And
23 years old.
You'd already been, you know, in the big bad world.
I was 23 years old. But it was the big summer musical, which was a big deal for us at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be 13.
Okay.
Was a serious cutoff.
Oh, for real.
Yeah. If 13. You were 12 and a half, there was, you would wait
shit out of luck.
Summer.
There's no way.
And it was a big deal.
Did some people try to, like, sneak in?
Yes.
You're sitting with one. I auditioned when they did Chorus Line. I was like, I can't live without this show. And I'm auditioning with Gotta Have a Gimmick.
Of course you did.
And I was like 12.
A couple of years earlier, we did a Chorus Line.
And they were like, we can't. Oh, yeah. Full version. everything.
I was there. It was there. But the City of Angels that we did, first of all, I want to tell you a couple of impressive things about it. And then we'll go on to Becky's career.
Okay.
We had a 28-piece orchestra.
Yes.
Which was all amazing jazz musicians. Seriously, that show, you were like,
it was live. It was live. They were live musicians.
And
sure.
The actors have gone on to big things like A.J. Holmes, who did the Team Star Kid. He was our Stein. Mm-hmm. Dan Rosales, who was Hamilton and the Spamilton show. So we have some big people. But we did City of Angels.
It's just incredible.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty good.
It really was. It was great. It was really good. We did the whole black and white and color thing, which was a very big, you know, hurdle to jump.
Yeah.
And it really, it did. It made you like feel very grown up and adult to be discussing and doing these very adult themes in front of your parents,
Yes, indeed.
Who were, by the way, super proud. They weren't like, oh, why is my daughter in a negligee tying a man's tie, making a joke about things to hold on to?
Right.
Instead, they're like, atta girl, find your light.
That's my girl.
So Becky and I were working on a show recently, and we were talking about our community theater experiences, and I realized that maybe this could be something that we could do, because Kevin has. Do you want to tell Becky about your Yellow Brick Road?
Oh, I was just thinking how my summer stock experience in 2001, the director thought it'd be, we did Wizard of Oz, and the director thought, you know what, let's, because it was repertory theater in the true sense of the word, so they thought, well, let's not have a painted stage with the Yellow Brick Road, let's have somebody actually be the Yellow Brick Road.
Stop it.
So I and another person, a girl, was cast, and we had to wear a yellow unitard, and then we would have to jump out. I remember literally being underneath the stage set thinking, at first, they wanted us to think we were honored to have this job, and then when it came time to do it, I did not want to go out on stage. I was so horrified.
I can't imagine why.
This tight, like, and you would run out and just like...
Point.
Like, point. I'm pointing, folks, and
with
smiling.
A big
like,
smile.
With a big old, like, huge Cheshire, like, grin, like... Yep, that was it. And then we would like do the we're off to see the wizard. Yep.
Did
so that
you,
was,
you got paid for this?
Oh yeah. Oh well, not by pay. It was like 8 weeks of work, and we got paid I think $120 total. I think
oh,
for everything.
Oh my god.
So anyway, so
that's
so
that was, too good. Yeah.
Speaking of paying in the theater, you did theater, but you paid to be in the theater.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Excuse me.
Absolutely.
Like you paid to have the honor to.
Oh, yes. And then
show.
Provide our own costumes on top of it.
Not for my theater company.
Where was that?
Becky, tell us about your children's theater experiences.
So I did, I grew up in Thousand Oaks, California, and I did Showboat Youth Theater, which was at the time, and potentially now, unfortunately I don't have the information, but at the time, truly the premier children's theater camp
Ooh.
Of Southern California, San Fernando Valley. And they did amazing shows. And we did once in a while, we did like Cinderella or Beauty and the Beast, but they really jumped in. We did things like Chorus Line, Music Man, Gypsy, Sound of Music. We were really like serious
yeah.
about our theater. But you paid maybe, I'm going to venture to say in the 90s, maybe $125 for 2 hours every Saturday for 2 or 3 months. So you paid that lump sum. And at the end, you put on a performance. And your parents came, and you got to buy VHSs at the end.
Of course.
Yes, for posterity.
Yeah.
And it taught me everything I know, truly, about theater, upstage, downstage. If you can see the audience, they can see you. Like, things that I would venture to think a lot of people would not have learned until later. I learned it at 5 and 6 and 7. I also learned about some very serious grown-up things at 5 and 6 and 7 that were cut, yes, that were, like, you know, cut from the actual show that we were doing. But I had to, if I'm doing a Chorus Line, I'm going to watch the Chorus Line movie. I'm gonna listen about Richie losing his virginity in Ooh. A graveyard.
Oh boy.
And I'm gonna have questions.
Yes.
So something like a Chorus Line was altered just, you know, here and there.
Like tits and ass, for
tits
instance.
Tits and ass, yes. So what we did is it was lots of class.
I've heard this and that.
Yes.
But I've never heard
lots of class. Had the fingernails all done. Yes, so we did lots of class. And while changing the lyrics was very helpful, of course, a lot of the choreography was not changed.
Oh, so they're still just like...
Lots of class, pointing, grabbing. And of course, the adults are like, oh, my
and
God.
And how old is this child?
So my sister sang that song when she was about 10. She's about 10 years old, and I was about 7 or so in that show.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the best part about some of the adjustments was the endings. Because, you know, you have to move it forward for children, and every single person on that stage is paying to be in the show. So
right.
every parent is going to expect their kid to have a name, a line,
moment.
A bow. Exactly. So at the very end, Zach is pacing across the stage, and he's going, oh, you know, it's a show, and I wish I could hire all of you. So I'm going to hire, dramatic lean in, I'm going to hire, dramatic lean in.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
All of you! And all...
No way.
All 60 kids on stage wearing their dad's white button-down shirts because we have to get ready for the finale. Yay! We booked it!
So completely rewrote the musical.
Basically. But...
But everyone wins.
Absolutely. And Marvin Hamlisch had nothing to say at the time about it. So we decided it was all right to take those liberties. Yes.
And speaking of rewriting musicals, what was Rockin' at the Hop?
Rockin' at the Hop was the term and the title for Grease when you don't want to pay royalties.
So, now that's funny.
So Rockin' at the Hop also got its own liberties because... Not only why would a 9-year-old have a pregnancy scare? First of all,
well, this is good information to
absolutely
say out loud.
Absolutely, just you know? Yeah, just so everyone
I
knows.
Actually, when I grew up, my babysitter, when we got to that part in the movie, my smart babysitter at the time, we said, "Skipped your period? What does that mean?" And she said, "Skip a class."
Class? Oh my god, that's genius.
What my babysitter told me at the time. So
that's genius.
It took me many, many years to realize what the plot point was all about.
Absolutely. Sorry. It goes over your head and like...
The little kids, you just don't even think of that.
Absolutely.
You just don't.
Absolutely.
Okay. Sorry, yes.
No, so, okay, so Rockin' at the Hop was Grease, and it has a lot of your familiar characters, but once in a while, you get some new songs.
Oh.
Like, the beginning of the show started off with, I was lucky enough to play Rizzo.
Oh.
And the show started off of me in front of the curtain, and I was wearing like a 1950s or 60s house coat kind of, and I'm carrying a doll like a baby.
Oh, foreshadowing.
And I'm and I'm like, I'm older, exactly.
It's the memory play version.
And so I'm standing there and I'm holding a baby, and you're like, immediately you start off, you're like, where the hell am I?
Right.
I start off by singing Somewhere That's Green. Reminiscing about my old days at Rydell High and how I wish I could go back to high school and all those old fun memories I had with my gang. Well, this is musical theater, so at the end of Far From Rydell, I dream will dwell somewhere that's green.
No.
The curtain opens and suddenly we're transported and I yank off the house coat and I got my pink ladies jacket and I toss the kid off stage and someone catches him and we go into it.
Now, some people feel that to play Mama Rose, you have to be at least 50 or 60 to have life experience.
Yeah. Some people say that.
Some people. Yeah. How old were you when you took on Mama Rose?
All I have to say is that some people can get a thrill from knitting sweaters. That you've set me up. How could
that was
I
really
not?
Good. That was
so
brilliant.
I did... let me just say, Mama Rose is not that hard. I feel like Patty was like super dramatic about it.
Like, say the lines, do the songs.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
The
if the emotion's not there naturally, don't push.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, I did play Mama Rose not only once but twice. I was legitimately asked back by this theater company to do an encore performance.
Much like Patty at encores.
Exactly. See, wow. I know what I know. I know.
It's like she's following your footsteps, actually.
Yeah. I definitely did it before she did.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Officially,
yeah.
Year-wise.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah. So Mama Rose, she has her kids, and she's pushing for Baby June to be a star, and Louise has fallen behind.
Yeah, that is.
And then Baby June leaves.
Plot.
Not really. I don't think with Tulsa. I think Baby June is
he's like the ticket out, but like he helped choreograph a little something.
Yes,
something.
There's nothing romantic. Yeah. They didn't get married. It was simply that she wanted to do her own act.
Yeah.
So now it's Louise's turn, and Herbie's been around, but don't worry. Herbie never really leaves. He's there right till the end.
Take him for granted.
Infidelity, breaking off divorce, none of that.
Yeah,
he's there the whole time. But when it's Louise's turn to finally be in the spotlight, and we get to the theater, they are not strippers. They are actresses.
No, wait, I'm sorry.
They're actresses.
So they changed it because they thought that was too...
But they're still wearing these salacious costumes that light up and bump and grab. Like, they're still doing these things.
And they still have to say, if you want to bump it.
I can't remember the exact lyrics.
If you want to grind it, wait till you refine it. So,
yeah, exactly. But, and those are very...
In intuitive?
Inferential? Is that the word? Lyrics. Like, if you want to grind it, like, as a kid, do you really know about what that
means?
No,
you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean? So, like, you can keep
those
things.
The double entendre.
Yes. But it was something wrong with acting. It doesn't really hold the same cachet.
Right, and like the little bit with the G string, that's probably...
Oh, yeah. it's
that was
it was
pretty weird.
They
awkward.
Could have probably kept it, though, to keep that little girl having her one line going, take off that necklace.
She's paying good money.
Wow.
And how old were you? How old was your
mom? So that was absolutely 12. I remember celebrating my 13th birthday right after that closed. I was absolutely 12.
But you didn't retire. You kept going.
I kept going. No, that was like the launching point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Of the career of playing people who were too old from my general age.
The Music Man?
Music Man was good. So Music Man, I was much, much younger. I was probably about 8 years old. And once again, Showboat Youth Theater, classy.
Showboat Youth Theater.
Showboat Youth Theater.
I love the name. Yeah. I love that the name has the title of a musical in it. I just think that's even better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But we couldn't do that musical.
Because
there were no people of color in our community.
Oh.
We could not do Showboat. Well, that I would mean, never have worked.
See, I'm surprised because that doesn't seem to have deterred them from doing anything before.
Like, oh, no. Oh, no. They eventually...
They draw the line on that with the...
Yes. Eventually they did, years later, I saw they did do Hairspray called Aquanet. No royalties for Aquanet.
They're bold.
I guarantee you that seaweed was white. I have no proof of this, God. But I'm guessing. Yes. Okay. So Music Man, there was always going to be, in musical theater, especially when you're kids, there's always going to be a shortage of men.
Right.
Like, you know, the girls, it's just going to happen. The ratio is always going to be off. So I was hashtag blessed enough to play the role of Mrs. Shin, who was married to Mayor Shin.
Right.
But there was no Mayor Shin. So not only was I Mrs. Shin, I was also Mayor Shin. So I said all the speeches and the Mrs. Shin lines, just in the same costume, back and forth, a very progressive Iowan community where a woman has been elected mayor. You gotta
Can
do
women
you
even
do.
Vote at that time?
Sorry. Absolutely not. Absolutely
but she
not.
Somehow got elected mayor. Okay.
I just pushed my way through. I was like, I'm mayor. Live with it.
So that was the children's theater career, a monumental one.
It absolutely was. It was a blast. I loved, like I said, I loved learning the ins and outs of theater itself, and it teaches you discipline, and we had to learn choreography, and truly, when you performed, regardless of where you were, how old you were, it felt like Broadway.
It did. You're right.
The curtain came up, and your parents were out there, and people brought you flowers, and it was your turn to say your line, and you felt like it was opening night.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah.
It was inspiring, and I want my niece to do community theater. I would tell every parent who has kids or is going to have kids, give them that access. It's hilarious. It turns out to be amazing stories when you're 30 and incredible opportunities and adventures when you're a kid.
Where was college for you?
College for me was the University of Arizona in Tucson.
Did they showcase you?
We did do a showcase, which we invited agents from New York to come, and we had a pretty good turnout because who wouldn't want to leave New York in January to come to Arizona?
Yeah.
So people really took them up on it.
Yeah.
But a lot of that turned out to be not even associates, like interns who weren't really there for reason.
Right.
What was your showcase song?
So I did two. We each did two songs. I did Behind These Walls, which was a Scott Allen song. So my showcase was weird. For me, I was not given great advice, and I was told to do more contemporary stuff just to like make myself more sellable in that market in 2010. But I should have been doing classic musical theater stuff. I should have been doing Gorgeous or I'm Going Back or something big and broad and ethel-y.
Yeah.
And then I did Closer Than Ever. I did Miss Bird, not that these aren't great songs, but you get to the city and like every third person is singing Miss Bird and every fourth person is singing Behind These Walls. So yeah, so you're kind of screwed. But I learned very quickly after that, like not to push myself into a specific type, to allow myself to be that old fashioned version of a person, which I am vocally.
Yeah. I love that.
We were asking some people before, you know, when you first move to the city, we all have to do very crazy jobs in the theater. Like you'll do that black box production in the middle of the Bronx somewhere. Did you have anything like that or any weird auditions?
So yes, I'm embarrassed to say I didn't get offered the job, but I did apply and audition to be a singing, dancing vagina for a public service announcement about HPV, which was a very big deal at the beginning of like all the HPV vaccines in the early 2000s. And so on the spot, I had to rap, it wasn't rapping for me,
sure.
like a poem about like being a vagina and vaginal safety and STDs wow. and HPV and stuff. I didn't get it. I couldn't believe it.
Humiliating. I don't know if it really took off. You know, I don't recall it. So I feel like we didn't all miss
it. It wasn't on the Tonys last year. It might have been missed.
I bet
they
it was a good
it
song
and
though.
Called it the band's visit. Ironically, they made a lot of changes. They said, wouldn't it be more interesting if it was a bus in Bet HaTikvah? And they said, yeah, we'll get rid of the vaginas.
But
yes.
They still used my rap and I got no credit.
But Tony Shalhoub does do it brilliantly every
he
night.
He does. I give it to him with love.
Every night. This has been so much fun.
Oh my gosh, such a blast.
Thank you so much for sharing this. And just if anyone is ever doubting any of these stories, I will say I have seen the videos. And she's
the VHS.
The VHS. And this woman is not making anything up.
Oh, my God. Mama
I'm
Rose
not that bright. I couldn't make up something this funny.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm a longtime lover and listener of this podcast. It's really an honor to be here.
Thank you. And we'll catch up on something, I'm sure, pretty soon. Let us know when you're doing something and we'll tell the masses.
Most likely you'll be directing it.
I'm doing the HPV thing. All right, everybody.
Bye,
everybody. Thank you, guys.
Today's episode was recorded at Shetler Studios on 244 West 54th Street. Visit Shetler Studios to book your room today, and you could be as cool as us. That's Shetler Studios.com.
And a big thanks to our sound editor, Daniel Schwartzberg, and social media manager, Bethany Ann Selecki.
And friends, don't forget, we want more folks to hear these incredible stories, and that's where you guys can come in and help us out.
Yes, in order for people to find out about us, we need lots of ratings on iTunes. The more ratings, the more they'll come up in searches. So head on over to iTunes, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends, click on our logo, click on ratings and reviews, then write a review and leave us 5 stars and make us feel as special as Eliza Doolittle on Eliza Doolittle Day.
Or you can leave us 1 star and make us feel as bad as Annie did in that weird production in Boston where Annie dreamed about being adopted and then ended the show back in the orphanage. True story, Rob was there.
I saw it. So head on over to iTunes and make us feel even more special than we already do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.